Do you want victory? You can have it in Christ Jesus.
Time once again for Abiding in Christ with Jim Wood.
You have to step back, evaluate the various positions in light of Scripture, and then re-engage with a godly perspective.
Pastor Wood is the founder of Ware's Valley Ranch, a Christian home and school for kids from crisis situations.
Jesus said, "As the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Abide in my love."
You can contact the program by calling 866-41-ABIDE or by visiting us on the web at pastorwood.org. And now, here's your host, Jim Wood.
You would please open your Bibles to the Gospel according to Luke. Luke chapter 5, verses 1 through 11. This is God's Word. One day, as Jesus was standing by the lake of Gennesaret with the people crowding all around him and listening to the word of God, he saw at the water's edge two boats left there by the fishermen who were washing their nets. He got into one of the boats, the one belonging to Simon, and asked him to put out a little from shore. Then he sat down and taught the people from the boat. When he had finished speaking, he said to Simon, "Put out into deep water and let down the nets for a catch." Simon answered, "Master, we've worked hard all night and haven't caught anything. But because you say so, I will let down the nets." When they had done so, they caught such a large number of fish that their nets began to break. So they signaled their partners in the other boat to come and help them. And they came and filled both boats so full that they began to sink. When Simon Peter saw this, he fell at Jesus' knees and said, "Go away from me, Lord, I am a sinful man." For he and all his companions were astonished at the catch of fish they had taken. So were James and John, the sons of Zebedee, Simon's partners. Then Jesus said to Simon, "Don't be afraid. From now on, you will catch men." So they pulled their boats up on shore, left everything, and followed him. May God add his blessing to this reading from his holy and inspired word. This is not a myth. This is history. This is what actually happened. Jesus had gone from place to place there in Galilee, preaching the kingdom. If you look at the previous verse, he said, "I must preach the good news of the kingdom of God to the other towns, because that is why I was sent." And Jesus kept on preaching in the synagogues of Judea, but he didn't just preach in the synagogues. Sometimes he was preaching outdoors. Often, in fact, we see Jesus preaching outdoors. And here he is down by the lake, and the people were crowding around him. If you check the other gospel accounts, you find that the crowd was so large and pressing in on him that that's why he got in the boat. It was just in order to give a little buffer so that actually more people could hear. So the people were crowding around him, and they were listening to the word of God. Now, please notice, what were they listening to? Not a comedian, even though Jesus says a lot of things that are deliberately humorous. They were listening to the word of God. What do I pray that you will hear every time I'm about to preach? God, give us ears to hear your voice. When we study the Bible, it's not because it's interesting, historical. It is interesting. It is historical. But what is it that makes this book different? This is the Word of God. This is the Word of God. They were listening to the Word of God. That's what has power. God's Word is alive. And it's powerful, and it's sharper than a two-edged sword. So, Jesus saw at the water's edge two boats left there by the fishermen who were washing their nets. Now, why were they washing their nets? Because that's what you have to do if you want to keep your nets in decent shape. I was blessed to start my ministry as a pastor on Cape Cod. We spent 5 years on Cape Cod, and the last 3 years, I could look out any of the windows on one side of the house and see the ocean. And part of that view was the fish pier, where the commercial fishermen would bring in their catch. But you don't just unload the fish, you got to clean up afterwards. And so they were cleaning their nets. And Jesus went down and got in one of the boats, the one belonging to Simon, who became Peter, and he asked him to put out a little from shore, and then he sat down and he taught the people from the boat. He wasn't saying, I'm tired of teaching, I got to go for a boat ride. He was saying, give me a little space here so that I can preach to the crowd. And he did. Then when he finished speaking, he said to Simon, put out into deep water and let down the nets for a catch. Now, Simon had just finished washing the nets. So this is not a good idea from a human standpoint. It just seems like a lot of work for no return, okay? A fisherman, by definition, wants to catch fish. These guys had been fishing all night long, and they had caught nothing. Zippo. Nada. Can you imagine that they were not feeling real encouraged right now? And when Jesus says, put out in the deep water, let your nets down for a catch. Peter's like, this is not your line of work, is it? Okay? I mean, you don't get this. We've already done that. This is what we do for a living. There's just not a lot of fish today. They're not over here. But because you say so, I'll do it. I would love to have seen the look Jesus gave him. I believe there's a pause in what Simon responded. He said, Master, we've worked hard all night and haven't caught anything. Picture Jesus' face. Not a scowl, just patient, looking at Simon. And Simon says, but because you say so, I will let down the nets. Okay? Here we go. I know this is fruitless. I know this is not going to do anything good. This is one situation where I know more than you do, Jesus. But because you say so, I'll do it. Here we go. Let's let down the nets, guys. And they let down the nets, and immediately, they're full of fish. They're full of fish. Such a large number of fish that their nets began to break. So they signaled their partners in the other boat to come and help them. And they came, and they filled both boats so full that they began to sink. One of the promises that God gives is that when we obey, He will bless us beyond what we are able to ask or imagine. He will pour out a blessing so great that we can't receive it. It just spills over the top. My cup runneth over, Psalm 23.
You're listening to Abiding in Christ with Pastor Jim Wood. Pastor Wood is a popular speaker for family and marriage retreats, conferences, and pro-life fundraisers. If you are planning an event, a retreat, or conference, and would like to invite Pastor Wood to speak or teach, please visit pastorwood.org and fill out our speaker request form. At this site, you will also find over a dozen books authored by Pastor Wood and his wife, Susan. Again, please visit pastorwood.org today. That's pastorwood.org.
Under the crashing waves, to step out of my comfort zone, into the realm of the unknown where Jesus is, and He's holding out His hand, but the waves are calling out. out my name and they laugh at me.
God has everything. He created the universe. He owns the universe. He governs the universe. Everything belongs to him. Everything belongs to him. So the idea that, you know, God, I know you've got a lot on your plate. There's a lot you got to do, but I've got this need, and I was just hoping if you could help out a little. He can do a whole lot more than a little. He can pour out such blessing that we can't imagine it and we can't contain it. The boats began to sink. Now, if you're in a boat and the boat begins to sink, is that a good thing or a bad thing? It's a bad thing. I mean, you don't want that to happen. If you're in a boat and it's full of fish that you've just caught and you go underwater, what are the fish going to try and do? We're out of here. Thanks for the ride. These fish are so numerous that the boats, plural, both boats, begin to sink. When Simon Peter saw this, he fell at Jesus' knees and said, "Go away from me, Lord, for I am a sinful man." It's in this moment that Peter is recognizing, or Simon here, is recognizing who Jesus is and that they don't belong together. I remember when I was 11 years old, about to turn 12, and my family had just moved to Montreat, and I was hitchhiking down the main street trying to head for home, and a car pulled up next to me. And I got in to the front seat, and I didn't even look to see who the driver was because it was a gated community, and I knew we were okay. And this very familiar voice said, "Jimmy, how are you?" And it was a person I'd never met before, but who it turned out had been praying for me. His name was Billy Graham. And he was the most famous guy in the world at that point, okay? He was on the radio, he was on television, he had a newspaper column, he had his own magazine. I mean, he was everywhere in the news. And everybody thought of him as somebody who really walks with God, which actually was true. And when I saw who it was, I was terrified. I answered his question, and then he asked about my family members, because he'd been praying for them too. And I said, "You can let me out right up here." Why? Because it was like, I shouldn't be in the car with him. This is Billy Graham. Now, some people don't respond that way to celebrities. Some people are like, you know, "Can I have lunch with you? Can we do a selfie?" I didn't feel that way at all. Because he wasn't just famous, he was a person who was really close to God. Now, my parents were really close to God. I knew a lot of people who were godly people, but this is Billy Graham. Imagine if it was Jesus in person. The natural response of a person who has not yet been born again is to say, we don't belong together. And the reason is not because I don't think you're good, it's because I know I'm not good. Go away from me, Lord. I am a sinful man. You don't want to be with me. If you knew all the facts about me, you would not want to be in my boat. You would not want to be helping me catch fish. If you really knew everything about me, you wouldn't want anything to do with me. If we get a glimpse of who God is, and it wakes us up to who we are, the natural conclusion is, woe is me. I am undone. Well, Jesus doesn't work like that. He came to save sinners. That's all that lives on this planet. He already knows everything about you. There's not anything hidden from him. He knows stuff about you that you don't even know about you. Stuff you haven't admitted to yourself. He knows all that. And the amazing thing is, that's why he came. Because we are so messed up that we could never save ourselves. But he came to save sinners. He came for us. Not because we were so good he just couldn't stay away. But because we were so messed up that there was no other way we could be saved. He didn't come to give us a set of directions so that if you follow these directions, you can clean up your act and turn this place around. He came to take the punishment for our sins. He came to die in our place. He came to bear the wrath of God that we deserved. He and his companions were astonished at the catch of fish that they'd taken. So were James and John, the sons of Zebedee, Simon's partners. They were all just blown away by what had happened. And they knew this is not a lucky catch. This is a miracle. And it's too great a miracle for us to contain it. Then Jesus said to Simon, "Don't be afraid. From now on, you will catch men." Today's key point, main point, is this. Don't be afraid to follow Jesus. Jesus said, "Don't be afraid. From now on, you will catch men." So they pulled their boats up on the shore and left everything and followed him. Now, what was it they were leaving behind? Everything. This is a family business. The guys in the other boat were James and John, the sons of Zebedee, who were Simon's partners. What about Zebedee? Dad. They left everything. Well, were they smuggling drugs, and so that's why they needed to leave it? No. They weren't doing something that was sinful. But when God calls us to follow, we can't let anything distract us. That's why Jesus talks about hating father and mother. It's not because you're supposed to wish them ill. It's because nothing is allowed to compete with our love for Jesus. They left everything to follow Jesus. What if it's a good thing? This boat was a perfectly good boat. Jesus had just used this boat in ministry. You understand? So when they followed Jesus, they picked up the boat and walked under it, carrying it like that. Is that right? Well, this boat can be used for ministry. Not now. Not now. Put it down. Walk away. You're saying boats are bad? No. They didn't just leave bad stuff. They left everything. They left everything. Why? In order to follow him. They just washed the nets. Does it say, so they washed the nets one last time? No, they just left them. Somebody else can wash nets. I'm following Jesus. Precious, wonderful, godly man by the name of Larry Elliott, who was in our church in Atlanta, felt called by God to leave his insurance business. He was very successful, owned his own agency. He felt led by God to leave his insurance business and go to work in a children's home ministry. And so He kind of looked at his situation. He had a wife and kids to support. And as I said, he was doing very well. But he wanted to be wise. So he met with some really brilliant financial planners, people I knew. And he said, I feel God's calling me into ministry, and I want to sell my company and go to work full-time in ministry. And they said, that's wonderful, but having looked everything over, you need to work another 3 years in order to do this right. You need to, you know, do a careful, planned withdrawal. And over a three-year period, you can accomplish that. And then you'll be unencumbered and totally devote yourself to ministry. Well, that made good sense. But Larry prayed about it, and God said, no, do it now. So Larry obeyed. And he walked away from everything and took a financial hit in order to do it. I mean, he was still okay. It didn't wipe him out. But he could have made more if he'd hung in there for another 3 years. 3 years later, he stood before our church in Atlanta and talked with them about the journey he was on and how God had blessed his life so richly during those 3 years of ministry. And now he was dying from a rapidly destructive brain tumor. And he said, if I had waited 3 years, I would have missed the best 3 years of my life. He said, God called me to do this, and I obeyed, and I will never regret it. If God is calling you to do something, obey him. Don't be afraid. Obey him. Follow Jesus. Larry's one of the people I'm really looking forward to seeing in heaven. As he was dying, I went to lunch with another wonderful friend in that church in Atlanta, a fellow by the name of John Hoover. John was doing fabulous ministry all around the world. It was Sunday afternoon. We're sitting in a restaurant together, and we started talking about Larry and how all three of us were in our 40s. And talking about how hard it was to wrap our minds around the fact that Larry's about to leave us. That was on Sunday. On Wednesday, John Hoover stepped into heaven from a massive heart attack. Whoa, how could that be? How can God let things happen like that? God is looking at eternity. Larry's not dead, he's in heaven. John's not dead, he's in heaven. You and I are only going to be on this earth for a limited period of time. We don't know how long. God does. He has numbered our days. But I'm on my way to the place where Larry is and where John got there before Larry. How much time do you have? Well, I don't know. You're making me nervous. I don't want to make you nervous. I want to make you wise. Don't be afraid to follow Jesus. Whatever time you have could not possibly be better spent than doing what he tells you to do.
You've been listening to Abiding in Christ. If you have questions that you'd like for us to tackle on the program or comments you want to make, I want to invite all of you to contact us at 866-41-ABIDE. That's our toll-free number, 866-41-ABIDE, or contact us on the web at pastorwood.org. That's pastorwood.org.